Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max?
Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Max, how's it going, Zach?
I'm doing pretty good today, Max. How are you?
Not the best. Anyways, what are we talking about, Zach, today?
Well, we've gotten around the galaxy today, but just before we get into the topics, we should probably address some things that happened since we were recording.
Well, I just want to say first, I'm happy to be doing a regular podcast. It's been a while, actually, feels like it. So I think we have to address it. I guess you're right here. I'll probably feel better once we get into this. So if you guys have been living under a rock, which I think if you're listening to this, you haven't.
Yeah.
So last episode, we featured our interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yes, the Neil deGrasse Tyson. Now, I know this is a little bit of a step down, but I think we need a little bit of time to reflect on this. And as stated, I'm not feeling the best. I'm not sick. I'm just...
School's back, so, I mean,
that's not
kind of explains it all.
That I guess that is the best way to put it. But I think we do need to just step back and reflect on this and think about where the podcast goes from here, especially after something that
as big. As
that. That big. So I think, Zach, I think I just want to start off with just... Do you want to just, because we've been in quite a few TV interviews.
In case, yeah, you didn't notice, we were interviewed on Global TV, CKNW, that's what the radio is for, yeah. Global. And then News 1130 Global also wanted to do a radio story. So we've been around.
Let me give you a clip just from each one, just the intro, because I don't want to be copyright claimed or whatever.
Even though it's us.
Even if you've never heard of the To The Max podcast, started by two Vancouver teenagers as a pandemic time killer. But their small show is already punching above its weight after the boys secured an hour-long interview with one of the world's most famous living scientists.
Here. Yep.
That's us.
That's the News 1130. I got a global one, but I don't think we need to show you all of them.
You get the point. We've been around.
We've been around, but I think just it'd be nice to just talk directly to the podcast, not through any news sources, just on the podcast, the way that we used to do it.
Yeah.
Used to do it as if something's changed.
Yeah, a lot. We've gone through a lot. And yeah, well, I think we've got to talk about it. I mean, it was a great experience for us. If you haven't listened to it, I mean, well,
please do.
Go listen to it. It was just...
I think you will enjoy it just as much as we did.
Yeah, we had a great time speaking with Neil.
He even let us call us Neil.
Yeah, we got to call him Neil. I mean, yeah. It's pretty crazy. And well, he had a lot to say, and it was just very intriguing listening to everything he wanted to bring up and the way he answered our questions. Definitely our best episode by far.
So Zach, could you start off with just talking about just how we got to get the interview in the first place?
Well, yeah,
it seem complex, because it really wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try my best, but it really kind of... It's pretty easy in some sense. I mean, if you watched the news stories, you'd probably heard. But for those of you who didn't, just emailed his website, then that was it. I mean, it's really hard to make that a bit more complex. Just found his website, found a Contact Me page, and we were off.
Yeah.
Try it yourself. Maybe something will happen.
Please don't, actually. You're going to overwhelm him, probably,
yeah,
if everyone did. But, you know, if you really do have a podcast and you think he actually would be good on it, go ahead, do it. And I think we learned a really valuable lesson there, that we should just go ahead and try these things.
Yeah, definitely take the chance if you're willing. Well, for us, I don't think there was any real risk by reward. It was all 100% reward. And,
yeah.
Well, 100% reward, 99%. Probably won't pay off, and we were that 1%.
It was fantastic. I want to just talk a little bit about actually just talking with Neil. If you play back the podcast, you will hear me absolutely nervous when
it's
he comes on.
It's very awkward right at the beginning, because I believe right at the start, that's exactly when he joins the call.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, me and Max are a bit...
That is the full interview.
We just cut out the part where me and Max are screaming before and after, because... when he
Zach,
left.
Literally, I was showing Zach an optical illusion. If you guys want to do this at home, Put both of your hands together and make a circle. Now focus an object in the middle of the circle, and close your left eye. It should still be there. If it isn't, that means your left eye dominant. Now close your right eye, you'll see it completely disappear, which is really cool because you'll know that your right eye is the one that is dominant.
Yeah, and while Max is telling me this, on the Monday, or the Thursday,
he slaps me.
Yeah, well, first off, I didn't care at all. And then
I look up. Wait, it's so cool!
sure. And then I look up on the computer screen and it says Neil deGrasse Tyson would like to join your Zoom meeting.
And then he goes like,
yeah, smack Max. And then we just have a little moment where we don't speak. And then it kind of just cut right into it.
So he comes on and I see this icon and I'm thinking that looks like Neil if someone just drew a crappy picture of him on the piece of paper.
Yeah, the profile picture couldn't did not look like him.
It looked like him. Obviously it's like some kind of like cartoon, like just like, you know, outline kind of feature, like his hair and his mustache and like that.
Yeah, but his sunglasses. Initially what I thought it was just some random guy.
Who put a piece of paper.
A piece of paper, yeah. I thought it was a piece of paper.
I was so worried.
And then I heard his voice and then he turned on his camera and then the interview blasted off.
Great. I was so nervous at the beginning of that though.
Actually, I think what we should do, we should start paid viewers and if you pay like what $5, we'll send you the video clip of me smacking Max before. if anyone's interested, $5.
Yes.
We'll send you some exclusive clips. Maybe that will be set up.
Maybe. Yeah. But I just want to talk about actually like just talking with him. I mean, just he's so cool of a guy, and a lot of people say, you know, don't meet your heroes. But it was clearly not the situation in this one. Like, just a fantastic guy to meet in real, Ethernet life.
Yeah.
He just seems, and that is the most authentic conversation I'm probably ever going to have with him.
That's saying you're going to have more with him.
Most of mine are going to be one-sided, as in he's just talking,
right.
And I'm just listening.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how it went. We asked him a question, and he spent 20 minutes talking.
But the good thing is, unless he really, really, really is a bad person, but, like, is really good at covering it up, and he can even do that when he comes on our call, I'm going to say that he's a good person. Off on a limb here.
Yeah,
but basically, I think the thing is, I'm just really happy that he's exactly like he is on the his podcast and in Cosmos. And I think that's just something that's really nice for me.
He keeps his personality.
And it's just, some people, you know, you're worried that they're not going to be exactly who you hope they are, but he was exactly and more. I mean,
coming into it, we had low expectation, or at least I did. I thought it was just going to be some bot.
Well, I was really nervous.
Yeah.
I was logically thinking, hey, we went through his website. There's going to be a bigger problem if they say, hey, you've made it from his website, and then don't. But obviously, that didn't happen.
It worked out for the best.
But, you know, it was just one of the best things ever.
Yeah, definitely go check it out if you haven't. I mean, you've missed. It's probably something you'd want to check out if you're interested in our podcast.
Now, Zach, do you want to talk about just a little bit of the future of the podcast? We can talk about our possible guest at the end, but...
Yeah, stay tuned for maybe a new possible guest coming in a later episode. But yeah, I think me and Max both definitely want to have... Obviously, we had Neil deGrasse Tyson on. Probably one of the greatest astrophysicists in the world, I think it's safe to say.
In the world?
I'm sure me and Max would both like to have
the most well-known astrophysicist.
Most well-known. And we'd both like to have more, of course, scientifically educated people. Obviously, no one as high up as Neil deGrasse Tyson. I mean, that's pretty hard to top. But I think me and Max would both just love it if someone who is educated in just maybe a little certain area could just come on and we'd speak with them about stuff. I mean, I think that'd be really fun. And I mean, it's always fun to have good conversations about interesting topics and something we like to do.
I think the thing is, I really don't care if they're not Neil deGrasse Tyson, because no one is. It doesn't matter if you're like following up after him or whatever, because I still think it would be fantastic to have anyone on, no matter what their realm of expertise is. Sure, they might just be, you know, just another biologist, whatever.
Right.
Oh, it's just... it is a biologist that we are having on our podcast who has a...
We're very happy to talk to.
Exactly, but... and I think it'd be so cool. And just anyone in their own field, you know, just a regular biologist. I would love to have a couple questions with them, you know? That would be so cool. And obviously, yes, get cool people. We could maybe find a way to talk to the people that are developing COVID vaccines or,
All right, Max. Hey. Let's just stick with the local biologist and then go up from... I mean, we did reach pretty high the first time, but, I mean, two times in a row.
No, it's not as high, I don't think. You know, we could just talk of anyone making it.
That's true.
I think it's actually just as cool. But I think what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of ways for this to go. And I just want to keep talking to people in the scientific field. Obviously, Zach and I will still do podcasts, you know, just us.
We'll try and keep a regular upload schedule. We've been pretty bad recently, but, I mean, we had big things going on.
Big things.
That we had to prepare for.
And to be honest, you know, have been in a kind of crappy mood. But I think another thing is the smoke outside blanketing.
After we're done with this little recap, we should just talk about the smoke and how...
Well, I thought this was a perfect segue, Zach. I set up the segue.
That's true.
I set up the segue. Come on.
That's true. All right.
Blew it.
Let's just go right into it then.
I gotta say, I love this podcast. It makes me feel better, actually.
Yeah, California's on... Or not California. Washington's on fire. California's also on fire, but Washington's on fire and it's affecting us.
And the
New Westminster's on fire.
Oh, yeah. That's completely unrelated. I'm pretty sure there's actually a suspect in that. Like, someone actually burned the...
Oh, I saw an article. A group of people were throwing a baby shower, and they, like, I don't know how, but it was involving fire in Washington, and that's how one of the fires down there started, because of a baby shower.
Well, Zach, I know that all of California knows that there was a boy. Baby reveal party was...
Yeah, congratulations to the mother and father.
I mean, actually, it might be a girl, because fire is red, and red is pretty close to pink, and pink is generally the color that you say for...
A girl in a baby shower. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you involve fire in a baby shower. Maybe, yeah, there was a big reveal. There was either a blue flame or a red flame behind a big curtain, but then the curtain caught on fire, curtain toppled over in the forest, and now here we are.
Is that true what happened?
Oh, I have no idea. No. I'm just making a claim.
I think anything is stupid enough to be real. Honestly, 2020, kind of a weird year. It's not...
Kind of. Just a little. Kind of.
Just a little bit. But I think the thing is, these wildfires are something that's important to talk to. You know who else that we'd like to have on the podcast? A climate change person.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Because these fires are... See, the thing about climate change is it's hard to put a finger on the actual thing causing the climate change. It's hard to say...
It's only this.
It's hard to say here's a direct outcome of it. You could say, hey, the Earth is, you know, slightly more tilted this year, or this event, not caused by climate change, caused this. But these wildfires are something that you would look at it, and I think looking at the data, it does make sense that they are happening more frequently.
Yes, there's an increase. One being people, human stupidity. And the other being drying and droughts.
So the drying out of the forest, these dry trees are far more flammable now because...
Well, there's no moisture.
There's no moisture to prevent, you know, sparks. And dry things spark easily.
Yeah,
There's a lot of static electricity there.
It's probably common knowledge that if you dump water on a tree, it probably has less of a chance to catching on fire if it's been sitting in the hot sun for 2 months.
If you soak my phone in the water... It will not catch fire, because it will be so... Actually, it will spark, but that's not a good example. If you throw a log in the water, submerge it for a little bit, make sure it's kind of moist, that will not catch fire as easily as a dry...
Tree trunk
that you've left out in the sun to bake.
Yeah, I think that's common knowledge, yeah.
It is pretty common knowledge.
And with climate change,
it is becoming drier and warmer,
Well, sparking these fires.
And now climate change people might say, well, if the Earth is really getting hotter, where does all that excess water go? Well, it goes to other places, you know, storms. And speaking of storms, tropical storms, another thing hard to put directly label on climate change, but...
It's definitely a factor.
And they're happening more...
Definitely more frequently in these last coming years. What was it, 2 years ago where it was just... Big, like, stage category
four
honestly, and five.
I feel like they're happening so often. I know this is hurricane kind of...
This hurricane season's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up, and there's already been a couple.
Yeah, no, there's a big one a couple of days... Not a couple of days ago, but I've seen...
A couple months. What about that one that completely destroyed the Bahamas recently, I think?
I don't know if that was recently, but I do remember
something
like that.
Within 2 years?
Well, yeah. Okay, recently, within 2 years, then definitely.
Like, there's a lot more, and they're coming out of general season, I would say.
Yeah, and all of this... These fires, these storms, all of these natural events are happening a lot more frequently with climate change. What a shocker! If you put them all on the same graph, you'd notice something that they're all going up. Like, I wonder why.
Well, I bet there's some that are the outlier, but the outlier usually is the exception. Usually proves the truth in that factor that, you know, this is an outlier because all the other ones are doing this.
Right. And
they're all going up because of.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't see why people have to care too much about the thing I don't like is, why do people have to be so uptight about saying climate change doesn't exist? Because what's it going to affect them? Zach, please.
I don't know. What are you asking me? I don't know.
Come on, we got to think of something.
Didn't go outside, make a snowball and say, climate change is fake. There is snow.
Yeah, but what? Yeah, I get that. My question, though, and just try and actually think about this critically in this one. I know it's pretty hard, but, you know.
Well, I'll try.
Most of my brain power is dead on school. But anyways, imagine that you have, imagine that you're just out there. Climate change is going to make things just more unpleasant for you in the long run. That is a fact, and we can prove it. Just, even if you don't say climate change, just say the heating up of the earth.
Yeah, the weather patterns have changed.
No, Jack, don't even say weather patterns. Just say heating up of the earth.
Yeah, we'll
will cause flooding and more storms. Just say that.
Yeah,
that is a fact, and that is pretty easy
well
for everyone to accept, okay?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Now we're going to say that climate change is heating up. So we could look at a trend and say, in fact, I'm going to put up a heat trend of Earth, okay?
A heat trend over years or a heat trend in areas?
Like heat trend over years. So world temperature by year. We'll pull up a graph here.
Just before you pull it up, I'm just going to make a prediction.
Wow.
I think it's going up.
So I have, obviously, I can't be trusted on exactly how accurate these are because I've just pulled up a Google search. But
by the looks of all of the average Google search, all the graphs seem to be, they have one thing in common.
That's a little bit surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you can see, obviously, I'm not going to completely, trust these, but
they're going up.
They're all going up. And if you look at it, the baseline, that's 120 years ago or 140 years ago in 1880, right?
Yeah.
That's about at zero on this chart. Not 0 degrees Celsius, obviously. But we have gained over a percent and
a
percent and a bit, which is
I'm sure we'd look a bit deeper into the graph, but
We would. And the thing is, most of these charts back it up in some sense. So my thing is, just by looking at this raw, scrolling through graphs, I'm going to start by trusting. Obviously, I do my critical research.
Yeah, but just by a quick Google search, looking at the consistent average.
Now we could label this increase in temperature as just climate change. Now, how is that a fact that is disturbing? I'm just calling this increase in temperature climate change.
You're just giving it a name.
Just giving it a name. Okay.
But apparently, some people don't like that.
But my question, really, is how does climate change, how does admitting that climate change could be real, how does that affect you? Because let's actually think critically.
It's
okay,
the government.
Maybe you're going to have to
it's the government
cut down on waste a little bit. Okay. Maybe you're going to have to, fly a little bit less. Well, we've all been doing that already. And I think, automobile transportation's far down. Have you seen what Times Square looks like?
It's pretty empty, isn't it?
In fact, there was actually a couple articles that I've seen that have said, literally, New York is dead. Obviously, that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah,
but
9 million people?
No, but that's not the point. The point is, so many businesses used to have spaces in downtown, and they realized, in COVID, hey, we don't need to have these really expensive office spaces in the middle of New York when we could instead just work from home. Sure, we'll need to host meetings, but we can have a lot smaller of a space.
We don't need this big, massive apartment building.
So we've already cut down on the possibilities of, you know, just reducing a tad bit of temperature. And if this has not been the most inconvenient thing. Like, obviously, staying inside, but that's a different thing than, you know, just working from home a couple days a week. In fact, a lot of people might even enjoy that. And some companies, another fact, have found that productivity even has gone up. Obviously, some have gone down, but yeah, whatever.
What's that bias?
Selection bias.
You see what you want to see. That's okay.
I think the thing I'm trying to say is this was not too big of an inconvenience, but really, if we're actually just willing to do this, if everyone was willing to do this, and we could just, like, sorry, what is the point of club? What is the bad thing about admitting that climate change exists? Like, oh, you're going to have to eat a little bit less cows because they have methane or whatever.
The cows fart too much.
Yeah, just okay, we'll just kill off more cows. Okay, sure, maybe beef will go up, less people eat it, vegans will be happy, we'll just eat it
different. Well, no, Max, you have to kill the cows, and then the vegans won't be happy because you killed all the cows, oh, but then less God. People will start eating meat.
See, the thing is, we got to get rid of the cow population because they're causing too much methane.
Too much farts.
Yeah. But I think the thing is, these are not, like, obviously, they're big things, but...
They shouldn't be that hard to comprehend for some people.
And especially I've never understood the hate to accepting it. Just in the first place, admitting that climate change could exist. Because there's
countless studies.
Like, obviously, I understand that people might be... they don't like graphs because graphs could be faked, and I could search up and find a bunch of fake graphs, and that could be what they're seeing.
Yeah, just change the names or the...
numbers or whatever. I could make a completely false graph, and they could say, oh, your graphs are false, proving that temperature goes up on average. But we could also look at just... like, there are a lot of actual empirical data just about storms and... other things like average water temperature, which is something that is very, very undisputable, or the amount of ice just taken by satellite photos in the last, you know,
well,
whatever.
No, Max, the government controls what we see in the satellite
photos. And Antarctica doesn't exist, so they just pretty much come up with all this stuff down there.
Yeah. Well, no, then again, if as long as you've been around on this Earth for 5-10 years, it doesn't take
a big mind
to just notice, even if you turn on the news every once in a while, that there's a big storm coming. And even if you just, if you're... with your mind, you just note down, oh, hey, this was a big storm here. There's a lot of storms.
And then you look back, like, go back. There are so many records that can tell you what storms were like in certain areas. There was a lot of evidence about that. And you can find several sources that would back it up. Now, you go back and you compare and you say, overall, we're trending up. Obviously, storms have bad seasons and good seasons. But if you factor that out, you should find that the average is going up. And obviously, the problem with a lot of humans is they live within their own lifetime. It is a huge issue. And it's the reason that we can't observe cosmic events, because we live on a very short time scale. It's the same reason we can't see that the Earth is, like, heating up. It's the same reason we can't see that the Earth is a dynamic plate of moving plate tectonics.
Because we're just not around long enough.
We don't live long enough. And the thing is, the people that don't agree with it just because they can't see it, it's a very annoying thing, because we can't see a lot. Sorry for going on that little bit of tangent, but... the thing is, you just have to look a little bit deeper. And obviously, a lot of this sounds like propaganda for a lot of those people who believe this. And I might sound like a propagandist because I'm calling them stupid. But the thing is, maybe we should just... the thing is, I want to talk to someone who has the views against climate change. Because I would like to personally actually talk to them. And if I could actually convince them that climate change might exist in some form, or that heat is going up in some form. I don't have to say why. I can just, if I can prove even that, I would be, this is the kind of conversation I want to have, is what I'm trying to say. And,
wow, all that ramble just to say I want to talk with someone who thinks climate change is false, all right.
No, but the thing is, I want to actually tell them these points. And the thing is, I do sound like a propagandist. I mean, obviously I'm putting out all these facts, but they could sound quite overwhelming to some people. And that's the thing. A lot of propaganda relies on big numbers and, oh, and we're just going to say this and you're going to believe it because the believing of the masses. And a lot of people don't. They want to feel like they're the smart ones. They want to feel like, yeah, they want to say that
all got tricked.
You're
not
the
me.
Mindless drones, but we got it. And this is the reason I want to talk to you. I think it'd be very interesting. So if anyone knows, you know, have a crazy uncle or something, you know where to send them.
Yeah. We'll be happy to sit down with them, even if that's for like 10 minutes. We'll just ask them. Oh, I want to hear what they have to say, really.
Man, I took up this first half. So
you really did.
So, I think I talked for so much there.
You kind of did, but that's okay.
Okay, guys, so we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Make sure to give us that ad revenue.
Much appreciated.
Much appreciated.
We'll see you back when we bring up... I think there's some stuff about Venus and the sun that are coming up.
Can't wait to talk about it.
Stay forward for that.
See you guys in a second.
We'll be right back.
we're back. And I'm going to try and not ramble for this half. Zach has specifically stated he doesn't want me to.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's... Well, if Max just goes off on one topic, the episode would be over. Well, we would only talk about that one topic, because it's just...
But guys, I'm desperate. Please contact us. Anything you have, questions, make sure to follow us on social media. We're going to try and poll. And if you can give us some questions on social media, we will answer them in the podcast, I know.
Whoa.
Email us to themaxpodcast09@gmail.com. Fantastic. DM us on Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
We'll try and answer.
We'll try and answer. Please do. We do try to be active with the fans as...
as little as they are, but, you know.
You know.
We appreciate
that. We appreciate it. Much appreciated. Yeah. So, I think there's a very interesting topic, and...
Two of them.
But I think the first one is Venus. Now...
Probably a lot of you saw, just in the news, like in a news report or any article, that life on Venus probably the main headline.
Now, the thing that I love, just to bring it back to Neil for a second, Neil has told us several... He's not told us... Obviously, if you listen to the full interview, you know he didn't talk directly about this, but I've heard him talk several times about, you know, people say, like a scientist might say, hey, found traces of a particle that is made by life here on Earth. News.
Life on Venus, there's humans there.
Yeah, I think the media does tend to blow it. And then, if a scientist says something that's not as cool, they just won't.
They just ignore it.
Yeah.
But, you know, media coverage is definitely a bigger topic for another episode, because there's a lot to say there as well.
Definitely. But
speaking of what happened on Venus, so Max, what happened on Venus? Why all of a sudden is there life there?
So there has been a chemical found in the atmosphere of Venus. I'm going to actually pull up a news story so I can make sure I'm completely correct.
Is it just a particle, or is this like an animal?
It's a particle released... Here on Earth, it's released by oxygen-deprived organisms.
Right.
But it also does come naturally. Now, I'm not reading this, it's just from what I can remember. Now, there are normal amounts, volcanoes, asteroids do usually have a little bit, I think. But apparently on Venus, it's far more than expected, about tenfold. Or maybe 1,000-fold.
So they didn't expect that to...
Or maybe 100,000-fold times.
That's a bit more. But, you know, yeah, I guess they didn't expect to have this particle. And why is this particle so important?
Well, it's called phosphine, I think.
Phosphine.
Yeah, it's not phosphate. It's not a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what makes phosphine so incredibly important to life?
Well, it's not important to life. It's important because it is a byproduct of life here on Earth, which is the reason that they think it is, important.
So it's the after effect.
Yeah, it's the after effect. And basically, it's found in the clouds of Venus, which...
Out of all the places on Venus.
Well, that is actually the most likely place you'd find it, because down at the surface, at sea level, it is 92 atmospheres. Now...
That's pretty heavy.
It's a lot of weight. 92 times the atmosphere here on Earth at sea level. And it obviously scales up. So about at the cloud...
Not to mention the boiling, the heat.
Well, the heat is also a property of an increased pressure. They're linked.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, it is so hot there. Like, first of all, the pressure wouldn't even make sense for half the heat because the clouds trap more heat.
It's so
hot, and the reason these clouds are right at the perfect level for not being like an insane pressure that would be even hard for rocks and normal things here on Earth that are considered quite strong to survive. In fact,
Not entirely sure, but that one, I know the probe you're talking about, that went to Venus.
And it was like smushed.
Yeah, smushed.
Because it is a very, very dense and pressurized atmosphere. Now, basically, these clouds are about 61 kilometers above the planet's surface, and a lot of it has been theorized, basically, that this would be, if you found life on this planet, this would be where it is.
61 kilometers?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because Venus just has a really thick atmosphere.
Right, right.
It's more dense.
Right.
And according to this article that I'm reading, again, don't trust everything, but I'm gonna trust it because I have seen stuff like this. They're basically, clouds are like an ocean in a sense, because they are very dense. They are not the wispy clouds we have here. They are a lot more dense because of the pressure that, and obviously they're probably still a gas in most states, but you probably do have liquid and a denser gas at least. And they would actually be able to float. Now these clouds are made of sulfuric acid, which means it would probably, you know, ionize or whatever and, you know,
kill you. But, you know, we can dream.
We can dream. But I think life would be able, if it had started there, it would be able to survive. Now this brings up a question, because if it can survive acid, why would it release the same byproduct as
life
here on Earth?
Acid kills us.
Wouldn't it have adapted in certain ways that it makes it possible that it might not emit the same things? Is it possible that on Venus there is something that we haven't seen that is naturally spewing out large amounts of this phosphine that we just haven't realized? Like, perhaps there's some kind of naturally occurring, maybe there's underground volcanoes, like a lot of volcanic activity, and that is just creating more of this phosphine. There are a lot of things to look at in this situation.
Obviously, no humans on Venus. But the media kind of portrayed that a bit more than people were hoping for.
But the thing is, we could learn from, if there are microorganisms that live on Venus, we could learn from it. We could say, well, let's see what they have. Okay, they've developed this way to survive such even in the clouds, the pressure must be higher. So they live here, and here's how they defend against sulfuric acid. Maybe it's a way that we haven't thought of, or an organic way that we can maybe even bioengineer ourselves to be possible to survive in higher pressures and stuff like that. So there are tons of ways. And if we do find it, we should probably revise our thoughts of where life can be. Because it's classically a planet that is inhospitable, but, you know.
Yeah, multiple times referred to as hell.
Yeah.
You don't, when you think of
the hell life, of, that's pretty much hell. It's Earth's sister planet, and if Earth is heaven, that is hell. Because, yeah. I mean, really, they are, Earth is,
well, know, they not, used to be similar.
They used, that's the funny thing. But then, if they used to be similar, depending on how rapid the change was, they could have had adapting microorganisms. They might have had life there to begin with. And then this brings up another question. If there was life on, we suspect there's life on Mars, and why do people forget about Mars? Get to that in a second. But if there was life on Mars, Venus, and even Earth at one point, that means that life probably, there's no, was it just special to our solar system? Probably not.
Definitely not.
And especially if it was all three, if it was on three planets that we know of now, that would mean we should probably search for even more planets. Maybe not, actually, these are the
These are the big ones.
But I think the thing is, we should now say, wow, life is probably a lot more common than we thought, just based off this. And maybe it's not. Maybe intelligent life is hard to get to, which solves the Fermi paradox. But I think that we should think that if we actually do find something, that maybe life is a little bit more common than we thought.
That'd be nice. I mean, it'd be scary, but in a sense, but it would also be nice. I mean, as long as we were better. As long as, of course, us humans always want to be better than the rest. And as long as we were the best form of life, then I'd be happy finding some life particles in other planets. What was this about Mars? Do you want to talk about life on Mars?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm just finding it surprising that people completely just...
leave Mars out of the picture.
Left Mars out of the picture.
Because then there's also, the UBC study that showed that there were glaciers on Mars, which... water. At least some form of liquid. And if you'll ask what any scientist, and you say the key, what's the key to life, I'll say water or some sort of liquid, right?
If we're on the topic of life, I've been doing a little learning.
Oh, spectacular. What have you learned about?
Absolutely nothing. I just thought I should mention that.
Thanks for
but
sharing.
It should be interesting, because perhaps there are life that uses some kind of acid instead of water. I mean, there's got to be some other stuff on the periodic table that has similar properties to water, like just a negative ion that, you know, has maybe hydrogen in it. I don't know.
No professional chemists here. No, but
I mean, it'd be nice to get one on, but
Yeah, but not yet, not yet.
Not yet, but I think...
It opens up possibilities.
I think it does.
And definitely it opens up our wide view of what we thought life could be. This opens it up and allows new possibilities that we probably didn't think of before.
And, Zach, so while we're on the topic of, interesting scientific things that are going on right now, I read a story, something about the sun and being more dangerous.
Yeah, I can talk about that, yeah.
Clickbait title, probably, but can you explain
it? The sun is coming to get us now. So the sun, recently discovered by scientists, the sun, basically, they came to the conclusion in a study that the sun, it has these cycles, and they occur about every 11 years, and basically, they have, like, a hard cycle where they're, like, really, the sun's really mean, we'll say. And then we have other ones where the sun's kind of calmed down. And so I think... What the study said was that we are going into the harder version of this sun cycle, in quotation marks. And basically that means is there's going to be a lot rougher and tougher solar winds coming from the sun.
Now, the solar wind is like the ionized particles that are being thrown out, right? And things that cause the aurora borealis. Now, it might look pretty, but it's actually quite dangerous, and if we didn't have the magnetic field to protect us...
Well,
we'd be cooked.
We wouldn't be here.
There's no joke in that. We'd be cooked, because we would actually be cooked.
We wouldn't be here.
But we'd also be torn apart by the harmful radiation.
Yeah. Thank you, magnetic field. Thank you very much.
I don't think we've ever thanked you enough.
Yeah, it doesn't get the recognition it deserves. But yeah, the sun kind of has these cycles. And, we should be expecting a lot harder radiation, but the thing is with the radiation, usually down here on Earth, it's not going to affect us much. As long as the electromagnetic field holds tough, right? It holds its shape. But the real problem that we have is the satellites in the atmosphere.
All our technology really relies on them, don't they?
Yeah, I've watched videos where they kind of play out the scenario if a big
mass ejection
of solar radiation came and flew over Earth and it hit some of the satellites, it would, well, by the looks of that simulation, it's not good. All technology, you can't contact anyone. Well,
Tech, I have a landline, I'll be fine.
If you have a landline, yeah, I'll be fine.
I'm pretty sure you have a landline, too.
I think so, too, yeah.
So we'll be fine.
We'll be okay. We can record over the landline.
And we have
just can't
all the podcasts are saved to the computer, so, we'll be good.
Yeah, just all the listeners. They don't get to listen.
Too bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not great. We do not want that to happen, little to say.
Like, are they on the edge of, like, is there some that fly in, like, low Earth orbit should be fine, because that's pretty close to the magnetic field. How far does the magnetic field...
It goes out of the Earth, but obviously I'm pretty sure I'm not a magnetic field specialist, but I'm pretty sure...
What? Oh, man.
I hate to break it to you, but I think the closer you would get to Earth, the stronger. And what? The atmosphere also has some sort of protection.
It would bounce off particles.
Yeah, the atmosphere also helps. And so, higher up in the atmosphere, less protection. Lower you get, more protection.
More protection.
Yeah, and so, obviously, if you're higher up in a satellite orbit, you're going to be more exposed. That is, whereas we are sitting in a garage, we're pretty okay.
We're pretty gay.
Yeah, the roof's not too great, but we can trust the magnetic field for this one.
Very interesting, Zach.
Yeah, so expect the sun to rain down from above us in the next coming years.
I mean, obviously, it might be a little bit. Obviously, you go on the side of you err on the side of caution. But I think we should hopefully be pretty good.
We'll probably be okay. I think this is just a big discovery.
Imagine if it just happens just this year, just to add it on.
Just to add on to the fun of 2020.
Yeah.
I think this is it's a big discovery because it shows that we always, at least, just always thought that the sun just kind of sat there for 10 billion years until it
doing absolutely nothing doing until absolutely it died. Nothing.
Yeah,
but it goes through cycles just like the Earth does.
Yeah, it has. Not necessarily weather patterns as Earth, but...
It's not weather patterns, but... Yeah.
It's a pattern.
It does have patterns. Fun fact, Earth's weather patterns are caused by uneven heating from the sun. That gives us the wind and storms.
Thank you, tilts of the Earth. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Zach...
Sun's going on patterns. There's aliens on Venus. Mars had water. and Neil deGrasse Tyson spoke with us on our podcast.
Ah, yes.
And which one's the clickbait? Which one is not true? Yeah, you figure that out
it's
for yourself.
It's the aliens on Venus one, please.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I mean, if they're listening, they'd probably figure that out.
Anyways, I think we're getting kind of to the end of this podcast, so I kind of want to talk about our possibility of having another semi-famous person on.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the news broadcast, you might have an idea, but we won't spoil it. You have had to have exclusive news people would know.
But basically, we are going to be contacting, we have contacted, and we're hoping to secure a date.
Coming soon.
We're going to be talking to a health professional, which I think is going to be interesting. That's a little bit of a spoiler right there. I just want to talk a little bit about just, like, how...
Talking to people.
Just health... I was going to say health professionals, just how their job has been. Now, I think...
Well, I think we all know how a health professional's life has been affected recently.
Recently, yes, definitely. But I just want to talk about... I want to learn about what their job's like in the years that we're not considering a global pandemic.
Yeah, obviously this is a special year, and I think everyone has learned.
And I want to learn how they deal with, like, controversy of actually being them, because they have to make decisions that especially a lot of people might not agree with. Just because, you know, think about it. When you're making a health decision, you tell people to stay inside. There's going to be people that don't like that.
Well, we learned that the hard way, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's why we're still having to wear masks and
if you tell people
school.
That school is going to be in this weird, stupid setup, that's for me. I'm going to be honest. School, whatever. I mean, actually, it does open new possibilities, but I think there's still going to be people that... It's hard to please everyone, I think.
You can't.
You just can't. Unless you kill everyone, then you've
only pleased yourself.
But, and then you're the only one left, so I mean, I think that's the full population.
Yeah, but
we don't endorse that. That is not something we endorse. Please don't do that.
Nope. Not us, yeah, but realistically, you can't please everyone, so I think asking someone about just having to make a decision like that where... And just how you respond to being
criticism.
To not everyone liking you.
Yeah, exactly.
But when does it feel good if majority of the people like you? Does it get in your head? Or even if majority of the people like you and just that little portion don't, do they get to you the most?
Yeah. I think
there's a lot of stuff to ask there.
I think
it'll
be interesting. So, Zach, anything else to talk about today?
No, we had I think we'll hopefully have a better upload schedule now that we aren't losing our minds that Neil deGrasse Tyson came on the podcast. So yeah, expect
I mean, obviously
more frequent
school,
episodes.
We're still in school, but
well,
I think we'll look for a decent upload schedule. Fridays maybe not the best.
Fridays. This was kind of a we kind of had a Neil deGrasse Tyson episode. Still kind of freaking out. We'll just get this one out there. There was cool stuff to talk about. I really enjoyed the Venus and Mars, and then your climate change spiel was
So make sure, anyways, I'm going to say, yes, it was pretty interesting. So, as my public service announcement, everyone, please send us emails. Send us,
emails.
Send us emails. Contact us. Say anything. Contact me. Even just contact me.
We've been trying to start a segment.
Say
where
anything.
We answer
I want to have a segment. Just talk to me. Don't even have to be that good. Just be something.
We just wanted to start a segment where we answer one or two questions before we get into the podcast, but we don't have any questions.
DM us, or just even DM me, and I'll get your question right into the podcast.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely, if you have any questions, we'll answer them, even if it's not related to the episode topic. We'll just throw it in right at the start.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I want to do. Obviously, we will not be doing any communist propaganda. I'm sorry for anyone who thought that might be getting in. We're not going to accept your questions if they're about that. Or any statements about that.
Definitely not.
just thought I had to put that out there.
Just in case, yeah. Let's just make a quick disclaimer. Science questions.
Yeah, science questions.
There we go. Hopefully that clears up some stuff people might have had.
So with that being said, guys, I hope you guys have a safe and fantastic rest of your day. And that's right, I hope you guys take it to the max.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.